What is going on, guys? Before we get into today's show, I want to talk to you about our sponsor, Harry's. New year, new you. Maybe you're taking better care of yourself this year. Maybe you're just looking to shave more regularly. Maybe you want to lose a little bit of weight. Maybe the razor, the beard needs to go. I don't know. Hey, but you need to get over to harrys.com/lineup to get it all started. Of course, I've been a Harry's guy for years. Love, love, love their products. Love their razors. Love their shave gel. Love the convenience more than anything. Harry shows up on time. You need it when you need it. You don't have to deal with the drugstore. Listen, I pretty much buy everything online. Why are you not buying high-quality, inexpensive razors online with Harry's? You go over there, okay? You go over there to harrys.com/lineup, and here's what you're going to get. Trial offer, $13 value for free. Just cover the shipping. That's it. Great way to support the show. Great way to get yourself some new shaving equipment. You're going to get the handle. You're going to get the blade cartridges. You're going to get the shave gel. Boom. That's it. Just sign up. That's all they want you to do. They're going to send you stuff for free just for signing up. That's what I'm saying. Right? You just sign up. They're going to send you stuff. Use the promo code. Support the show. Let's go ahead and get into it. Going on, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in to the Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are going to talk through this Tuesday 4-game slate. Hey, listen, if you're like me and you stayed up late last night watching that Bama-Georgia game, I mean, wow. That kid deserves a lot of credit, man. That was a hell of a throw. That was a great fucking throw. I mean, you can't take that away. He takes the 16-yard sack on first down, and I'm going, okay, here come those big dogs up front. They're going to eat. They're just the pressure. Pin back your ears. This is it. Just keep them out of range. Nope. Just throw it as far as you can, kiddo. And he just smashed. That was unbelievable. Very, very impressive. Hey, but a nice slate last night, had a nice little run. Good games too. Some really good games. My ESPN app wasn't working on my TV for a while, so I was just watching basketball. I was watching Minnesota Cleveland for a while, which was fun. Well, not for Cleveland fans, but it was fun to watch Jimmy and Kat do their thing. That was good. Listen, got a request from a longtime listener to do a little bit of a recap, a little bit of a think-through process from last night. A couple things that I noticed. What I'm going to do rather than recap a lineup, takeaways from last night. And I'm going to try to keep a two-minute takeaway. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's look back at what happened last night. One of these nights. All right, two-minute takeaways. Here's the biggest one for me. Jokic is going to get minutes and get up for big games. He ended up being the top scorer last night, and based on the trends that you had seen from him recently, it was reasonable for you to doubt whether or not he was going to go out and get 30 more than 32 minutes. It definitely seems like Malone is willing to put on the gas in more competitive, higher-profile games and allow this guy to play more minutes to be competitive with high-level teams. He's not going to waste the energy here. So what does Jokic do? Of course, he goes out and he drops that triple-double, which he is known for, which he is capable of because of the assist upside that he offers. But he took 36 minutes to get there. That's a key takeaway for me, something to keep in mind. I was also very, very interested and impressed with LaMarcus Aldridge. I expected LaMarcus not to get quite as many minutes on the back-to-back. Got 36, scored 48 fantasy points. Again, this guy is an offensive juggernaut. Unbelievable, 31 points from him. He is having an offensive season for the ages. If I think there's going to be, I'm going to have a new rule. If LaMarcus Aldridge is under 9,500, I'm considering him on a nightly basis. Unless the matchup is prohibitive. He has been absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. In the Barclays Center, we had a really interesting game between the Nets and the Raptors. Don't sleep on the Nets. This team is playing good basketball. They took them to overtime. Really impressive performances from Spencer Dinwiddie, who got back on track. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson had a really nice game as well. We're probably going to see Kyle Lowry injured. He busted his tailbone. I believe that's what it was. So we're not going to see him out there for a little while. But that means that we're going to see a lot of DeMar DeRozan. Jonas Valanciunas, very, very, very reliable source of, not a reliable source, but a viable source of fantasy production so long as he gets the minutes. Trevor Ariza is unconscious. I don't know if anybody watched some of that Bulls game. That man shoots the ball like a maniac. Between him and Gerald Green, you are going to have a guy who can absolutely explode with three-pointers on a regular basis on that roster, something to keep an eye on. Avery Bradley, massive bounce back for him. Very, very interesting. To see that. As far as other major key takeaways, nothing really. I mean, a lot of guys did what they were supposed to do, what we hoped for them to do, what we projected them to do, which is always nice. I mean, for things to go the way that you expect, I think is an interesting one. One guy that didn't perform the way that I expected in a positive way, Miles Turner, didn't see that coming from him. Recent playing usage wasn't there. They got him involved. You're wondering if maybe there was a concerted effort by the Pacers to get him more involved. So I'm going to keep an eye on Miles Turner because we know he has triple-double upside. And I say that lightly, but he's regularly a double-double guy who can actually handle the ball. He's a big who can actually touch and handle the ball. So something to keep an eye on. Etuan Moore, he's back in. He's relevant again. Scored 23 points. Let's keep an eye on him. Other than that, not a ton of huge takeaways for me that I think you have to pay attention to, beyond that the fact that the Clippers are going to be a source of value until further notice. These guys are playing well. They're actually, you know, that game between them and the Hawks was competitive down the stretch. So something to keep an eye on there. All right, a few takeaways. That's it. Let's go ahead and jump into the Vegas segment of the show. All right, four-game slate here. And it's not a bad four-game slate. You know, normally a four-game slate, you kind of get a little bit itchy. You're not thrilled with it. But it's not a terrible four-game slate. Everything begins with Miami in Toronto. Toronto on the back-to-back, probably without Kyle Lowry. This is one of the biggest stories kind of the slate. Miami coming up there. This is a 207 total here. Toronto favored by 5 at home. We are likely going to see DeLon Wright and Fred VanVleet take over the position. Now, who gets more run, who starts, I'm not sure. That is hard to me because those two guys have been playing alongside each other. In fact, DeLon Wright has been playing also alongside DeMar DeRozan. Dwayne Casey had some interesting lineups out there last night. And so we're going to have to take a look at Wright. We're going to have to take a look at VanVleet. We'll probably need to wait for some news to see who's starting, but I think that they are both in play. As far as on the Miami side of things, you know, we're going to continue to look at guys like Josh Richardson, Kelly Olynyk, Tyler Johnson as the big beneficiaries of Hassan Whiteside's diminishing role and the Dion Waiters injury. Now, Dragic kind of came back to earth the other night after we all rostered him. Facing the Knicks, he slowed down a little bit. Whereas, you know, Tyler Johnson did not. He continues to play really, really well. So he's an interesting play to me in this one. But we're going to wait for some news to make sure Kyle Lowry's out. So before we make any massive decisions about rostering those guys. But just to be clear, we'll talk about DeMar. There's a lot of reason to like DeMar, especially on this slate. Portland at Oklahoma City. This one is a 206 total here, a pretty low total for two high-profile teams. Big news here, waiting on Damian Lillard. Questionable. He sat out that last game on Sunday. So we'll see if he plays. I think we'll probably know earlier in the day rather than later. In which case, you know, you're going to get some Shabazz Napier. You're going to get some a nice boost for Nurk and CJ in this case. Now, the tough part is really whether or not you trust that against, you know, a Thunder defense that is at home, that is pretty solid on the wings. You know, do you want to do CJ McCollum against Paul George, or is Paul George going to guard Evan Turner? You know, those kinds of questions. I think the value will be there if Shabazz Napier starts. I think just from a point per dollar perspective, it's interesting. Nurkic is interesting too. I mean, we saw DeAndre Jordan have his way against Steven Adams, but Steven Adams is a good defender as well. And he's someone that I continue to turn to because I think he's a solid floor option. Russ will probably be the most popular player on the slate because he is the only player above 10K, and I think just people naturally gravitate towards that when they're building. Magic at the Mavericks. I love this game, actually. 213 total. Of all the games, this might be my favorite. 213 total on this one. Obviously, the Magic continue to be plagued by injuries. Waiting to see if Jonathan Simmons is going to play. He's had back spasms. If he does not, then Mario Hezonja will take over. Wes Iwundu is going to get some minutes as well in that spot. But the biggest boost will probably go to Elfrid Payton, Aaron Gordon, and a little bit of Evan Fournier as well, who has, you know, they've all had to pick up usage here in this situation without Simmons and without Vucevic in the lineup. Now, on the Dallas side of things, we're going to continue to see the same starting five that we have seen for a while. But the minutes also, you know, for a guy like, even though Maxi Kleber is starting in name, he's a starter in name only. Minutes for Dwight Powell are there, and he is an interesting front court option. The minutes for Dennis Smith are hit or miss. I mean, he's now back to the 25-minute mark, whereas, you know, you're seeing Wesley Matthews, Harrison Barnes, both over 30 minutes on a regular basis. Dirk, not playable in my opinion. Just he's not unplayable. The 22 minutes, I mean, he's over a fantasy point per minute. You could just, because he doesn't get any run, he has a very, very serious floor. Now, I mentioned Dwight Powell. Here's the issue with Dwight Powell. He can go get 14 minutes, and that's a problem. So you do have to be careful what you wish for with Dwight Powell. But I think this is a situation where you might see more Dwight Powell out there in order to match Aaron Gordon, because he actually has the foot speed to deal with Gordon. So my guess is that you're going to see some Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleber, because Kleber is actually pretty young. He's relatively capable of moving around. But the two guys that I'm probably more into, I mean, if I knew that Dennis Smith Jr. was going to get the minutes, I would lock him in. But you look at these minutes and you just, it went from 29, and that was when we were like, okay, 29 minutes, this is great, down to 26, down to 24. But the shot attempts are still there, and that's what's frustrating. You know, if he gets the shot attempts up, you like him in this situation. I think there's a lot of reason to like him in this situation. The one guy who seems to be creeping in on that is a little bit is Devin Harris. So we'll keep an eye on that. It's easier to go to the bedrock guys in Dallas and trust the minutes with Wes Matthews and Harrison Barnes than anything. Sacramento at the Lakers. Sacramento coming off the back-to-back. They were up in the first half. They lost the second half because, of course, hashtag Spurs. Sacramento gives it up in the front court. So I am definitely interested in some of these Lakers front court. Julius Randle is specifically very, very interesting to me in this situation. I think that he's in a position to smash, and he did so very efficiently in his minutes against Atlanta the other night. Only 22 minutes, scored 32 fantasy points, which is just bananas. If we are going to see more Larry Nance Jr., we got to keep an eye on him. Kyle Kuzma and him were in a timeshare. The three of them were in a timeshare in that game, and it was kind of the exact same thing in the Charlotte game as well. a little bit of a timeshare for those three now. Probably trying to take a little bit of pressure off of Kuzma because the scoring just isn't necessarily that consistent. Now, with Bogut out of the picture, too, you have that 7 minutes re-entering that rotation. Brandon Ingram can't do it right now, too inconsistent. Lonzo, though, is the opposite of inconsistent. Very, very clear floor. He has about a 30-point floor. From a fantasy perspective, he has been pretty much a bedrock of production. And so I think you could definitely go to him in this situation, feel comfortable with him against Sacramento, even though they are a pace-down team. I like that. Now, speaking of Sacramento, they are a pace-up team. We're going to wait to see if George Hill is back. Now, that's going to change a lot of things for this team. Because if George Hill is back, he's going to, you know, cop some minutes from De'Aaron Fox, namely. But he's also going to play alongside De'Aaron Fox. And my guess is that's going to hurt a little bit of the minutes for guys like Garrett Temple, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and then probably also trickle down to guys like Scalabissier, who will probably go from 20 minutes to about 15 minutes if they want to run a little bit of a smaller lineup out there. Malachi Richardson probably won't see too much run either. That's not exactly what you're worried about. What you're worried about is whether or not you can trust these guards in Sacramento. Bogdan Bogdanovic, Bogdan, Buddy Hield, and De'Aaron Fox, are they going to get 30 minutes? I think you can safely say yes, Buddy Hield will. I think you can safely say that Bogdan will get over 24 minutes. But And De'Aaron will get over 24 minutes, but I think that that's about as far as I'm willing to go with my gamble on who's going to get the run. I would love to go to Z-Bo in this situation. Coming off the back-to-back, however, that's not my favorite spot to go to him, but I will say, even in 25 minutes, we've seen him capable of putting up a lot of points. So I think you could look at him in a small slate and feel like, you know what, you're not getting the worst production out of a guy who is relatively inexpensive. So there's a lot of guys, you know, in this slate that it's just a question of it's a question of minutes. It's a question of, you know, how much do you trust them in their rotation? You have teams that have kind of tough rotations to determine. Dallas has always been a headache. Sacramento's always a headache. Sometimes the Lakers can be a headache. So I think for cash games, you're going to want to take guys who you are firmly know that they are going to get 30-plus minutes in their regular usage in that role. And I think Toronto is a source of that. Orlando can be a source of that as well. Those are two teams where the rotation seem to change less rather than more. You know, the difference between 25 and 32 minutes is a big deal. That's a big deal. I mean, that's the difference. It could be the difference between 4 and 5X, and you just don't want to be on the receiving end of, you know, 24 minutes for a guy that you projected for anywhere close to 28 when you were hoping for that. You know, that's a bad feeling. So, let's jump into the player pool. Let's see if we can figure out where exactly, which guys we actually want to roster and who we love. Who do you love? All right, let's go ahead and jump straight into it. Now, we're going to start at the top of the slate here with our studs. Now, guys, I mean, full disclosure, there's really only classically one guy that we qualify as a stud on this slate. I mean, DeMar also above 9K, but it's Russ, and he's at home versus Portland, 11-8 on FanDuel, 11-5 on DK. Dame is not playing. It's going to be Shabazz Napier defense. And, like, you know, we got a lot of respect for Shabazz, but he's not an athletic match for Russ, obviously. I think there's risk in not playing him. Four-game slate, highest ceiling on the slate, no doubt about it. I mean, there's really not an argument to be made for any other play. I mean, DeMar, sort of, but not really in the way that Russ does. Averaging 53 a game, 1.48 fantasy points per minute, 34% usage. It's just, It's all there. I mean, as in team defense, Portland is very solid, but without Damian Lillard out there, you do like the size mismatch that he has against Shabazz Napier. They've had a couple rough runs. They're back home, which is a great thing for Russ. At home, he's averaged 58 plus four in that split, coming off of a day of rest, too. So, you know, there's risk in not playing him in cash. And I think you go with him, you say, okay, this is only a four-game slate. There's ways that I can find to build that I like with Russ. And I think that the other piece that you almost have to have is DeMar DeRozan. And, you know, if Kyle Lowry sits, and Kyle Lowry is likely to sit, I mean, they carried him off the court last night, but he's considered day-to-day. So it must be that it was a sore tailbone, which – a sore tailbone hurts like hell, and he's lucky he did. If it's day to day, that means that they saw an X-ray and it's not broken. Like if it was broken, we would be like, Kyle Lowry expected to miss 12 weeks because you can't do anything to fix that. You just sit. So, you know, my guess is he's not going to play. My guess is that he's not going to play because it hurts like hell. And the reason, by the way, the reason that I know is a tailbone is they say it was lower back, whatever the case may be. They carried him off, but apparently someone tweeted out that he yelled like get an X-ray on my ass, because it was his ass. I mean, it's your ass bone. I saw that on Twitter last night, which is great. It's hilarious. But I'm glad that he's not really, really hurt because that fucking hurts. I don't think he plays. If he plays, great. Because I think it makes the slate a little bit more interesting. You can make different decisions. If he doesn't play, then you force yourself into DeMar DeRozan. And I have no issue with DeMar. I mean, especially with the way he's been playing. You know, I came out here yesterday and I was like, I don't know. I mean, you could probably get 35 to 40 points from him tonight against Brooklyn. Obviously, we know it's a pace-up game. What does he do? He goes out and puts up 52. It's Kobe Light. I mean, it's Kobe Light. And I'm not, you know, without the, you know, rudeness. He's like a very good teammate. Like, notably wonderful guy. Everyone in the Toronto franchise loves DeMar DeRozan. I think he's a lock. Miami defense is average. They're slow pace. They're a good team, but he's at home. You know, they did have a back-to-back with extended minutes, but the usage without Lowry is just insanity. You ready for this? 42% usage rate and 1.55 fantasy points per minute without Lowry this season. Whoa. It's an 11% boost plus 0.37 fantasy points per minute. Bananas, absolutely bananas. And he's at home. He actually gets a plus 4 point boost just for being at home, according to Fantasy 5x5. Now, can you fit him and Russ in? Yeah, you can. I mean, it's a four-game slate, and so everybody's going to maybe making, you know, compromises to fit these two guys in. And there's plenty of value. I mean, there's a bunch of rotation players that are in play tonight because there's only a four-game slate. So you absolutely look at DeRozan versus Miami. At small forward, the most expensive guy that we have is Paul George. The short answer is sure. Okay. That's all I got. I mean, like, honestly, I don't know that you have to, because you have other players that you almost have to play. You have there is an argument on this slate to saying ride the chalk in certain spots and then figure out how you're going to be different with your cheap guys. Because I think that's the hardest part, is who are you going to roster that's under 5,500 that gives you an edge, right? That you're going to have to take some risks, because we have a ton of teams where minutes aren't completely locked in, totally secure, and you're sure that guys are going to get run. That's the hard part. So Paul George, we know the minutes, we know the role, we know he's at home, we don't mind the matchup with Portland, I don't mind it at all. He had a great game in Portland earlier this year. It was that game when Carmelo got ejected and him and Russ finished the game. He was on fire. Evan Turner doesn't scare me whatsoever. He is, you know, he's in a good spot. It's just you're paying $8K on a slate where you want to pay $9K for DeMar, who is in a much better situation. I'd almost rather pay $8K for Aaron Gordon, to be honest with you, in his situation against Dallas. And this is a relatively low total, and it's a relatively low total because you have two top five defensive teams, and I think that there's other ways that I want to spend high dollars rather than Paul George, except for to be different. And I think that that is, you know, something that in cash games people won't do. If you can find a way to fit him in by spending down in other places, I think it's different. But what you have to be sure of is that he's going to outscore the other 8K options, the other high 7K options. He's got to outscore Aaron Gordon and Yusuf Nurkic and CJ McCollum and possibly compete with DeMar. You know, and that to me doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense. That to me doesn't necessarily seem like it's a perfect situation. And Aaron Gordon is right there at the exact same price point of power forward. He's been good without Vooch. Not a monster, but good, okay? So he is just taking a shit ton of shots. Like, unbelievable, like, trying to play hero ball here. It's going fine. 32% usage rate. But it's only given him a 0.02 fantasy point per minute boost. It's like a 5% usage bump without Vooch, without Simmons, without Ross, all those guys, you know, who've been out for the Magic, right? Run that trend, and you get 32% usage with only plus 0.02. That's almost negligible. That's almost negligible. You're talking about a total of, you know, I don't even do the math for 30 minutes. You know, off the top of my head, I can't really do the math. But so I like the matchup, however, against Dallas. I will say the minutes, the price, the matchup, they're there. And if you're comparing him to the other options here, I think that this is actually a really good spot. I mean, I was looking at Fantasy 5x5 Deep Dive DVP tool, which is really nice. You can see specifically how DVP evolves in position to position. And, you know, starters against Maxi Kleber, who's been the starter at the power forward position. Now it vacillates between Salah Ejiri, Dwight Powell, Maxi Kleber, and Dirk. Dirk pretty much always gets 25 minutes, but those other guys, it changes night to night to see who Carlisle wants to give the hot hand to. So he starts. Does he stay? It doesn't always stay that way. But listen, Draymond, Markkanen, and Kristaps Porzingis, 40, 41. Markkanen had 33. Draymond had 40. Markkanen, 33. Kristaps, 41 against him in the last three. So how does that fit the profile here? Well, you've got a guy in Gordon who, athletic, capable, long, will get the rebounds, just like Draymond, Markkanen, offensively minded, will take you off the dribble, that kind of thing. So it makes sense to me that Aaron Gordon could be the next guy to go for 40 here. So I like him a little bit more than Paul George for the point per dollar production here. I know he's not necessarily the better real life play, but I think that there's a good argument to be made for Aaron Gordon in this situation. Now, that's it. I mean, those are your highest priced players kind of across the board that you're thinking about. We'll talk about, I mean, I'm not going to talk about Hassan Whiteside. He's been a disaster lately. So let's go down into the below 8K range here with the Grout. And starting at point guard, I'm going to start with this matchup in Orlando because this is really, really interesting. Let's just be clear about this. The entire world is probably in cash games going to go high-low at point guard. Russ and Shabazz, Russ and DeLon Wright. Makes total sense, okay? If Kyle Lowry sits, DeLon Wright has been unconscious. He's been really good. Now, he slowed down a lot last night. Will he be able to handle the minutes? Or will he be able to, you know, have the production that he had in those couple games recently? How much does Fred VanVleet eat into it? I'm not sure. There's all these things to consider with DeLon Wright. There's not as much to consider with Shabazz Napier. I mean, he went out and he had 37 fantasy points against San Antonio in relief of Dame over 33 minutes. We know Shabazz can get it done. We saw him in that Denver game, the same situation. I mean, he is a fantasy point per minute guy when they put him out there. So there's almost zero reason not to play Shabazz Napier here in this situation. The only reason is that you want to be different. And I think the way to be different is to go to this Orlando-Dallas matchup, which is insanely valuable. Like, I'm gonna do one lineup where I play these guys, Dennis Smith Jr. and Elfrid Payton, and Elf is 7,900, and he has been back to Elf form, above 30 points in all of his last three games. Now at 7,900, you need him to almost go for 40. Has he done that? He's almost done it. He's almost done it twice in the last like stretch. He did have 63 against Washington, which is just fucking bananas, by the way. Love that line. I mean, this is Elfrid Payton for you. Like, this is what he does. He blows up. He can destroy a slate. And you have to think that this is a situation where he could get it done. Now, has he been doing it? Yes, from a fantasy perspective, but you worry that the trust erodes because you see a 22-minute outing and a 26-minute outing. What does that tell you? It tells you he hates that Coach Vogel hates his defense, and which is the liability portion of Elf. If he is turning the ball over and not playing defense, you're going to go to a much more consistent asset, a much more, you know, experienced, lower-risk asset in DJ Augustine, and that's what you saw. In that Cleveland game, for example, 25 minutes for him in that Cleveland game. He just said, Elf, sit down, you know. That's a problem. That's a problem. Like, you can't, and it was Shelvin Mack in the other game. Like, you can't underestimate kind of the inconsistency of Elfrid Payton, which is why you can't play him over a Russ or Shabazz Napier for cash games. But let's listen to this matchup with Dallas, okay? Dennis Smith Jr. is a liability. When he came back, listen to these numbers. 48, 43, 32, 29, 73, 50, 55, 27. Those are the last 10 or so, 8 games, I think it is, I've listed there, of guys who have scoring totals of point guards versus Dallas since Dennis Smith has been the starter back in the lineup. Russ is in there with 73. Chris Dunn had 50. Jarrett Jack had 27. Kyle Lowry had 40, Darren Collison had 32, Rondo had 29. I mean, give me a break. This is a problem. Like, if Elf goes out there and gets 35 minutes, Elf could break the slate and get 50 points. And I just want to be aware of that. I mean, this is a trend that you could get your hands on that people aren't going to play because it's not very obvious. And every single write-up that you see today is going to be Russell Westbrook and Shabazz Napier. And let's be clear, in 50-50s, just do it. Ride the chalk with everybody else and be different somewhere else. There's different places a power forward, you're going to have to make some very interesting decisions. At center, you're going to have to make some interesting decisions. And small forward, you make some interesting decisions. Of the other positions, not so much. At the backcourt, point guard, shooting guard, not so much. There's a lot that's really clear for you. Okay, so Elf is a really, really interesting way to be different in tournaments. I think Dennis Smith Jr., the only concern that you have is minutes, but we're talking about a guy who's taking more than 12 shots per game. He is one of the most elite scoring threats on this team. Okay. Orlando backcourt is the way to go. They're literally 30th in DVP to the point guard. They're 26th in defensive efficiency to the backcourt. They're allowing 47 points per backcourt per game. That's well above average. They rank in the bottom five in pretty much every backcourt's against metric. He's probably going to go under own. Both of these guys, I mean, maybe not in tournaments because people will actually intentionally try to be different, but in cash games, they are. And I think that there's merit to just doing that to be different and saying, you know what, listen, if one of those guys busts, if Russ goes for 40 because it's a blowout, or Shabazz gets in foul trouble or something weird happened, then you have cornered the market on two point guards that could both have over 40 points. So way to be different at point guard, I don't know. At shooting guard, I really don't think that there's a lot of need to be different. It's pretty much going to come down to a couple different positions for me, a couple different names for me. And it's pretty, I mean, CJ McCollum obviously is there at 7,500 without, without Dame in the lineup in the last two games, he's been phenomenal. The Atlanta, or he has the highest usage rate. San Antonio, he had 47 fantasy points. We know he can handle the ball. We know he can distribute. We know he's going to get over 32 minutes, probably close to 35 minutes. He's had three of the last four games. Excuse me. Let's go to this. Four of the last six games, he has had over 40 fantasy points. He's just not priced that way because he's had two 29, 28-point outings. But that's his floor. I mean, 29 points is his floor right here. Do I love the matchup with OKC? I don't mind it because there's no Abrines. Okay, without Abrines in the line, or excuse me, not Abrines, what the fuck am I talking about? No, Roberson. If Roberson was in the lineup, this would not be ideal because you have two really, really good wing defenders in Roberson and Paul George, and McCollum's just going to be dealing with them. But without, with Terrence Ferguson or Josh Huestis in the lineup, we've seen some decent production from some, you know, mediocre shooting guards at best. I mean, Tony Snell went out and had a game. Wesley Matthews had a nice average game of 22. And KCP had 24. You know, Devin Booker had 30, but that was on a back-to-back. And mostly, Paul George probably was switching on to him because, remember, TJ Warren sat that game out with the flu. So I think that there's an argument to be made for going after the Roberson-less the Roberson-less Thunder here in this situation, and attacking at the shooting guard position with McCollum and saying that, you know, there's a good chance that Paul George stays with Evan Turner, because you can't play Terrence Ferguson against Evan Turner. Like, you can't. He's too small. And you know, CJ McCollum is probably a better matchup for him. So go to CJ. That's totally fine. Evan Fournier, very interesting as well at 6K. You know, he's been fine. He's not the biggest beneficiary from all these guys missing. And the last three games for him have been a problem, but the minutes are there and the attempts are there. He's just not shooting. If he doesn't hit his threes, he's not going to do anything for you. But when he gets hot and he hits his threes, he's worthwhile. Wesley Matthews, though, very interesting as well on the opposite side of that. Much more consistent. And the thing that I will say, the argument for Wesley Matthews is basically that he's cheaper than Fournier. He's been more consistent than Fournier. And the minutes are the same. So, you know, you take a $500 discount there. And you know, I think that the Magic... Magic are definitely someone that we want to attack. I mean, I talked about it with Dennis Smith Jr., but you want to attack them in the backcourt. And then the last four games with Fournier back in the lineup, Tyler Johnson, Allen Crabbe, J.R. Smith, they're all outscoring their averages against him. So definitely very interested. The one interesting way to do this, Tyler Johnson, I hate that he's listed. On DK, he's not. But I hate that Tyler Johnson is listed as point guard on FanDuel. I would love to play him against Toronto. He's attacked DeRozan on the back-to-back. Yes, you want to attack DeRozan, the defense, especially on the back-to-back, especially if he's going to have to do a lot on the offensive end. And Tyler Johnson is a guy that doesn't just rely on scoring. We know that he's going to contribute with the steals and the rebounds and the assists. He's going to do it at both ends, so you're going to get production from him in other categories besides scoring, whereas Fournier, Matthews, those guys, you need them to score. The three needs to be there for them because, I mean, Matthews took 10 threes the other day. If he doesn't take 10 threes and get himself, you know, 40% on those shots, you're in bad shape. But that's part of the reason why those guys have a ceiling. But it's also part of the reason why Tyler Johnson has a ceiling, because he does the other things. He actually plays defense, which Fournier and Matthews, not so much. At small forward, I mean, Harry Barnes, like, yeah, I mean, if you can fit in Harrison Barnes, there's almost no reason not to play him. It just, small forward is pretty thin, you know? I mean, Brandon Ingram, I'm not that interested. Just the way that he's been playing lately at 7K, yeah, he's at home, and we know he's got 40-point upside, but, like, Sacramento's a very, very slow team. They're not good, but they're very, very slow. I just don't trust Brandon Ingram. I think that he's got a long way to go. And if he doesn't score, he's a problem. And if he gets on Walton's bad side, then he's a problem. You know, there's a lot of reason to be worried about him. So I think Harry Barnes is interesting at 6'8". I think people will roster him. You have just a bad, generally bad defense. You have a 30-point floor with this guy. The price is not restrictive. He's just a cash game profile. He's very nice. you know, $6,800 is not a perfect price, but I mean, there are builds where you can fit him in, so long as you're willing to spend down at some of the other spots. And I think that there's definitely a good argument to be made for him. I have no issue with Harrison Barnes in this situation. So, yeah, why not? Why not? I mean, Josh Richardson is the only other guy, but the problem with Josh Richardson is really OG Anunoby. And like, you know, listen, I've been all over Josh Richardson because the profile is just so strong. Last four games, over 30 points. He's been insane. You know, and why? How does he get himself to 39 points against Utah? You say, well, only 14 raw points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 1 turnover. He doesn't turn the ball over. He plays phenomenal defense. He's a phenomenal on ball defender. You know, he is like an actual 3-and-D guy who like really actually plays D. Like he's very, very good. So I like Josh Richardson. I've always liked having him in my lineups. I think he's good for 30 points tonight. I have no problem with him either. I don't love the matchup with OG Anunoby and CJ Miles, but at the same time, I don't necessarily think that there's going to be some holes in this defense because you're not going to have Lowry. And Lowry, by the way, just got ruled out. So, yeah, there it is. It's DeLon Wright. It's going to be Fred VanVleet picking up a lot of minutes, and there's going to be lineups that I think we can exploit. We can exploit that small forward position. So I have no issue with Joshy Richardson here in this situation. I like him a lot. At power forward, this is a tough spot. Paying up for Gordon would be really nice, but Kelly Olynyk is interesting at 6K. He's starting to get some of his minutes taken, you know, not taken down. But you wonder if there's going to be a game where it's all of a sudden it's Whiteside gets him back. I don't know. Honestly, I think Spo's over it. He's over it. He's like, I don't care how big you are. You're playing yourself out of the lineup. But Olynyk, I mean, his price dropped, and it's because of the inconsistency. I mean, he had anywhere between 19 and 43 fantasy points in the last 5. You know, this is not a great matchup, but it's not a terrible matchup. I think you could go to Olynyk against Ibaka here. He's going to stretch him out. It's an interesting matchup for the two of them. I don't know. You know, I think you probably are looking more towards a guy like Zach Randolph and Al-Farouq Aminu. They're in the 5Ks. Al-Farouq, you know he's going to get 30 minutes. You know there's going to be a usage bump without Damian Lillard out there. He's cheap. The minutes are there. He is the cheapest 30-minute starter, basically, in the power forward section, okay? You have Kyle Kuzma, Serge Ibaka, Kelly Olynyk, Carmelo, Aaron Gordon. Al-Farouq Aminu is the cheapest 30-minute starter that you can get on this slate. That's the argument for playing him. He's the cheapest 30-minute, at the power forward position. So, yeah, I mean, there's other starters, you know? I mean, Maxi Kleber will start, Dirk will start, but you can't really play them because you don't, I mean, you can. It's just 25 minutes. Do you expect them to be super-duper efficient? And the argument for playing Aminu is that he probably will get 35 minutes, and he doesn't have to be super efficient with those 32-plus minutes, right? I mean, and so, you know, do you love the matchup with OKC? Not really. There's a pretty good front court and a very good defense, but Carmelo doesn't really scare me. And I think that if you're asking Aminu to do a little bit extra without Damian Lillard on the court, okay, maybe he gets there. Maybe he gets there. Z-Bo against the Lakers, I love it. I mean, I just wish I knew he was going to play more than 25 minutes. That's the real issue. I mean, right now, Z-Bo is just not playing more than 25 minutes on a nightly basis. But the matchup is great with the Lakers front court. You have no problem with that. I have no issues going after them. He played 30 minutes and scored 47 fantasy points against them last time out. So even if he gets the 25 on the nose, let's say he gets 25 minutes on the dot, okay, you could definitely see him be well over a fantasy point per minute. He is the one guy, I think, that on this slate that I know isn't going to get 30 minutes, but I'm okay playing him. And the reason is that he's so effective with the minutes. He's so offensively minded. He's so aggressive with the ball that you know you're going to get good production out of him. And I think the same could be same. The only other guy, I guess you could say that is for James Johnson. James Johnson, 25 plus minutes. You know he's going to contribute in a lot of different ways and not just scoring. So I can't trust Kuz right now. He's just not getting enough run, and he's very inconsistent. We're waiting for the price to come back down. I mean, he's in a dead split right now with Larry Nance. I can't trust Larry Nance, though, because if that shifts from a dead split to 30 minutes to Kuzma, that's a problem. The same goes for Dwight Powell. I mean, all these guys, there's an argument against all of them. You know, something to be concerned about with all of these guys as far as the starters go. So Zach Randolph, Al Farouk Aminu, two guys that I'm interested in. And if you want to spend up, Olynyk and Ibaka, obviously, are the other 30-minute-plus starters that you can get to just for about $6,000. So that's not bad. That's not bad, of course. Now, at center, you got two options as far as I see it, okay? You're not playing Whiteside. I'm not playing Willie Cauley-Stein. I like him. I mean, you can play Willie Cauley-Stein. Do you trust the Kings? Like, is there anyone that we trust on the Kings? I mean, he had 38 against the Lakers last time out, but it's a back-to-back. I don't know. Okay, fine. He's the same price as Yusuf Nurkic. Nurkic without Lillard out there gets a huge usage bump. He's almost 1.4 fantasy points per minute. He's right behind Dame as far as production goes. Right behind McCollum as far as, you know, production bump goes. Do I like the matchup necessarily with Steven Adams? No, but we did just see DeAndre Jordan do good work against him, and he's going to play 30 minutes if this team runs a traditional center with him out there. I don't know. There's an argument to be made for Nurk. We know he has the ceiling. The only other guy that I really like is Bismack. I mean, Bismack Biyombo in this situation, this is a game where he could have, you know, 20 rebounds. 27 possible minutes here against the Dallas front court that does not rebound well. He is only 5,600. I think he's your value guy. And listen, if you're not going to ask him to do a lot more than just rebound, I think you're safe. I think you're good with that. I mean, he's going to be the primary rebounder here. He's had double-digit rebounds in all but one of his starts, and that one start where he didn't was against Houston, and he only played 17 minutes in that game because they really just couldn't keep up with him on the floor. But against more traditional centers like Drummond, Whiteside, he even played well against Brooklyn. You know, against Cleveland, he played fine. I think you could see him go double-double. And 5,600 is a perfectly reasonable price for a guy who is coming off extended rest, who's probably going to be capable of playing 30 minutes and could have upwards of 15 rebounds. So I think it's a good price to go to him if you want to spend down. I have no issues doing that with Bismack. Now, all right, let's go on to the Bergen basement. Let's go ahead and figure out who below 5,500 we want in our rosters. At point guard, guys, it's obvious. I mean, it's not hard. It's DeLon Wright. It's Shabazz Napier. Tyler Johnson, I think, is the pivot. I think he's the weird one. But that's, yeah, those are the two. It's Tyler Johnson it's DeLon Wright and Shabazz Napier. Now, who do you want more? That's up to you. That's really up to you. There's not a huge sample size. To argue for either one is the more elite play over the other, because DeLon Wright just came on, but he does have elite scoring upside. He's at home. Shabazz, however, we have a track record of him being a fantasy point per minute guy in the last couple games when Damian Lillard is out. Pick your poison. Is there a scenario where you could play both? There is. But there's not a lot of other pieces that you want to spend up for beyond Russ. So why won't you play Russ plus one? That's the hard part. You know, one of them is going to outscore the other one. On DraftKings, I think you play them both, no doubt. You play all three point guards. You play the two value point guards and Russ. And you can. So I think that's the way to do it. At shooting guard, you know, I mentioned Wesley Matthews. He's right on the line there at 5,500. If George Hill is back, it does cut into the Buddy Hield Bogdan Bogdanovich value train. But Bogdan has been Bogdan has been good. I mean, he's been decent. 18 plus fantasy points in the last couple games. So I don't mind him. I wish I knew how to get Wayne Ellington right. But I think he's a guy that I would be willing to take a risk on in this on this slate. No Deion Waiters out there attacking the two guard. I think Wayne Ellington might be my guy. He might find his way into my lineups tonight because you want to attack the wings here. We know he's going to play the minutes, kind of as a mixed role at the two guard with Tyler Johnson. They'll take Dragic off the floor. They'll move Tyler over to the one. They'll leave Ellington at the two, that kind of situation. So I think Wayne Ellington is a guy that I think is a little bit sneaky on this slate. Not particularly sneaky, but interesting. Terrence Ferguson is probably going to start. I don't love it. I think you could probably, unless you have to punt and you need a $3,500 guy, I think he could probably be the one, but I don't think you have to have it. Moving over to small forward, we've been spending down at small forward pretty much every night at least once, right? I mean, Josh Richardson is at 5,600. I think you can definitely do him. Mario Hezonja, he's going to play. How much is he going to play? I'm not sure. Anywhere between in the last five, anywhere between 12 and 38 minutes. You tell me how much Vogel likes him. I have no idea, guys. If Jonathan Simmons doesn't play, though, you have to expect that Hezonja has to get closer to 30 minutes. Evan Turner, definitely going to play. Is he going to be productive? I don't know. I don't want to play Evan Turner. He just tilts me into oblivion. He makes me nervous. Unless I know it's a really bad defense, which OKC is not. The only other guy to consider is Wes Iwundu. And Wes Iwundu has been really pretty efficient. At 3,700, he's not the worst play on the board. And to be completely honest with you, do I want him or Hezonja? I might go to Wes Iwundu because at 3,700, he's not going to kill you with, 12 fantasy points. Whereas if Hezonja gets you 12 fantasy points, you're going to want to, throw your phone out the window. So that's kind of it. I mean, Josh Huestis will probably get some run with behind Ferguson, but I'm not playing him. And that's it. I mean, if you want to take a risk and try to figure out who's going to get more production without Lowry on the floor between Ona and Obi and Miles, be my guess. I'm not guessing. I don't want to guess. I want to pay for the minutes. And we did that earlier in the season, remember? And it always bit you. It always bit you. At power forward, below 5'5", Al Farouk, I mentioned him. He's the cheapest possible 30 minutes that you can get at the position. Larry Nance, Dwight Powell. That's it. That's as far as I'm going to go, really. I don't think you can do much more than that. Maxi Kleber, I guess. And, between Maxi and Dwight Powell, you wish you knew. Because if you know who's going to be playing 20-plus minutes in that position, against Orlando, you love that spot against Orlando. So it kind of makes me lean, maybe it makes me lean a little bit towards Dwight Powell, who actually has been able to efficiently get a little bit of offense going in the last couple games here. You can see he has a ceiling, and I think he has more of a ceiling than Maxi Kleber. And if he gets going, he has, 15-20-point upside. So at 4,400, he's an interesting play, but of course, I think you have to do the safe thing. You have to try to find 30 minutes on this slate at most of the positions. But that's all I'm doing there below 5,500 here. I'm not touching Scal. Larry, I wish I knew Larry Nance was going to play 28 minutes. You just don't know that. At center, I mentioned Bismack, Jonas Valanciunas. I just don't think he's going to get that much run on the back-to-back. He's been insane, insanely efficient. I mean, he's almost 2 fantasy points per minute in the last 2 games, which is just absolutely bananas. He's just a really good scorer. He's got great touch. That's it. I mean, maybe Brook Lopez against Sacramento, who we know we can exploit in the paint. 19 minutes in the last 2 games, been effective. But those 30 points against Atlanta were from 4 steals. That's not going to happen again. You expect this guy to do, a little bit of scoring, almost no rebounding whatsoever. So not my favorite play in the world, which actually kind of makes you like Willie Cauley-Stein because he has rebounding upside against this team. Yeah, you just have to play. You can't play Nurk then, and Nurk, we know, has the upside of no Damian Lillard, and he's not on the back-to-back, so a lot to like that. All right, let's go over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can throw together a lineup, and I'm just going to go ahead and go lock in some chalky, chalkity chalk for you guys. 1, 2, 3. Russ, Shabazz, DeMar. Okay? Russ, Shabazz, DeMar. Let's just go with that. All right? Let's just start with those three. Now, if you want to go to DeLon Wright, I understand. I have no problem with that. Okay? I think at center, you're going to do Nurk, or you're going to do Willie Cauley-Stein, or you're going to do Bismack. I don't mind Julius Randle. I don't mind him. I don't love him. I don't mind him. He's just too expensive. 7,100 for an unclear role is a lot. So let's take the cheapest possible path to 30 plus points, and that's Bismack. Now, he doesn't have the ceiling that Nurk or Willie Cauley-Stein has. If you want a little bit more ceiling, you could definitely spend up for them. But let's say we go to Bismack here at shooting guard. Let's call it. I'm going to go Wayne Ellington. Is the cheapest pass the 30 minutes that I trust? I think it's a good way to be different. I think he could have just as much scoring as Wesley Matthews. That's why you play him, right? This is the nice thing about small slates is you compare outcomes. Okay, what's the range of outcomes for Wesley Matthews? 22 to 35 fantasy points. What's the range of outcomes for Wayne Ellington? 18 to 26 fantasy points, something like that, right? You kind of get a sense and you say, okay, Wayne Ellington is a cheaper path to what is an average more or less 24, right, of fantasy points, where you could definitely see Wesley Matthews do the same thing. So, you know, is it the best way to think about it? It's not perfect, but it works. Small forward, maybe we go Harry Barnes. Let's see if we can do Harry Barnes and Aaron Gordon. Yeah, and then we have 4,500 at small forward and power forward. So, at small forward, you could do Wes Iwundu, and then you have Al-Farouq Aminu, right? That works. You could do Dwight Powell, and then you can't get to Hezonja, although, you know, getting to Hezonja is not exactly my favorite way to think of things. Let's do that. Let's see how this feels. Let's assume that John Simmons is eliminated. We get Wes Iwundu probably getting 20 plus minutes. He's my only real punt. So this is an interesting lineup. Russ, Shabazz, DeMar, Wayne Ellington, Harry Barnes, Wes Iwundu, or Aaron Gordon, Al-Farouq Aminu, Bismack Biyombo. Now let's go ahead and let's try this a little bit differently. Let's say we want to be a little bit more balanced. That means I'm probably going to pull Aaron Gordon out of my lineup. I'm going to go to I'll go to Willie Cauley-Stein. I'm going to keep Harry Barnes. I'm going to keep Al-Farouq Aminu. I'm going to go up to Zach Randolph. And then I have 4,600 again at small forward. Maybe let's do this. Let's try. This actually is a little bit better. Let's go Josh Richardson, and then I have 4,400 to spend on Dwight Powell. Okay, so this is an interesting lineup as well. Okay, Russ, Shabazz, DeMar, Wayne Ellington, Harry Barnes, Josh Richardson, Dwight Powell, Al-Farouq, Willie Cauley-Stein. And so you can kind of see how, you know, the lowest that I have to go on this slate is really 4,400. And I think if you want to get risky, you probably go to a couple more bench players, you know, guys that you want to take a risk on, see if they can get you, you know, more than 5x and see if you can squeeze in some of the higher ceiling type plays. But on a small slate, you're comparing range of outcomes, point per dollar value. You're trying to figure out the highest floor, a way to elevate your floor. And this is an interesting lineup. So guys, hey, good luck. Gonna get to work on the Wednesday pod. Try to get that to you guys a little bit earlier tomorrow. Enjoy your evening, and we'll see you on Wednesday.